Korea.
Just drawing strength and coming together in unity and in the name of the Lord. Amen. And Sister Deborah, I have to thank you for that text that you sent out. I mean, it just blessed my soul just hearing the message and the worship all over again. And so we put our stake in the ground. We are claiming our territory back. You know, the devil is a liar. I received a word from someone. It said, I could see demons in the basement. You know, and they said, then I see someone having stomach issues. And so Friday night, because I forget it, we're running these things out of here. You know what I mean? We're running them out. We're claiming the ground. Re-sanctify the ground and establish it for the ministry and the purpose of Jesus Christ. You know, even though it was empty, but the Spirit of God is here to do a work. And we're back together in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you today, God. We thank you for victory. We thank you for bringing us back together. Father, we thank you for causing this ground to be established in your name. We put our stake in the ground and raise the banner of the Lord. We raise the bloodstained banner high in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and if there's any residue of anything that thought it could slip in while we weren't together, we come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against distractions. We come against demons that are trying to claim territory. We bind you and push you back in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. All we have to say is thank you, God, that we have not been brought under. Even though there was a mighty wave of attack, we were not taken under, God. You caused us to still rise. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you and we worship you on this day, the day that you have made, the day that you have ordained, that we worship you, that we come to you with our offering of sacrifice and praise. Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, you have made us overcomers. We are here because we overcame. Lord, and we thank you for the blood and for the testimony of Jesus that have made it possible that we overcome the evil one. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you and we praise you. As we come before your throne this morning, let your presence fall on us. Let it continue to fall on us. Let it continue to rain like a mighty rain. Let it continue to blow on us like a mighty wind. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your presence do a work in each and every one of us. Lord, we come so we can be transformed. So we can put on the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That when men see us, oh God, they will not see us but Christ who lives in us. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to each and every one of us this morning. Holy Spirit, you know how to reach the hearts of men. So I pray that you reach our hearts this morning. That you comfort those that need comfort. That you strengthen those who need strength. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that the Word of God is available even today. Thank you for making it possible. In Christ Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And the Holy Son of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may please have a seat. Amen. It has been some rough 6 weeks, almost. Or seven? Yeah. It has been some rough weeks. Hallelujah. But we're still here. Our story is written in the blood of the Lamb. And he that writes our story is the Lord God himself. So we know how the story will end. Hallelujah. What happened in between? Oh well, glory be to God. But we set our eyes to the end of the story. And we know we are overcomers and victorious through Christ who strengthens us each and every day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this morning we're going to talk about giving thanks. Even in the midst of crime.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. And I believe this word is going to lift each and every one of us. And we're going to look at this scripture from now going from different angle. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Amen. We're going to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Hallelujah. I told you the story before, I don't know, a long time ago, if you can still remember. I was in Ghana, and around 1 o'clock in the morning, I was traveling. And I get to this place, which is pretty much the largest market. It's an open market in Accra, the capital. And one of the things you see there during daytime is that you see men and women, young and old, with a huge, I don't know if I should call it a bowl or whatever, sometimes it's a basket, sometimes it's a metal bowl. And what they do with that is that when you buy something and it's too big for you to carry, they will come to you and say, I can carry this for you. Wherever you're going, and they'll carry it on their head. And when you get there, they put it down and you pay them. So that's all they do all day. And they can carry heavy load on their head. Some of them, because of those loads, they can't get any taller. They stay short. Because they started doing it when they were young. These people are very poor. And most of the time, or most of them, don't have any place to call home. And they sleep on the walkway at the end of the day. And I get there around 1 o'clock in the morning. and I hear a noise. It wasn't even a drum, but they were beating this metal ball that they had. And they were dancing, hallelujah. And they were singing the songs of praise unto God. And they were all dancing, and I stood there for a minute. I was looking at these people. I said, Lord Jesus, these folks must be crazy and out of their minds. Because the kind of work they do, not everybody can do it. Carry that kind of load and having to navigate through. Well, you can only understand that if you ever walk through Ghana around 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning. To walk 10 feet, it may probably take you 15 minutes. Because of the amount of people that are walking in every direction, you can't even move. And these folk will carry that load and walk miles in the midst of this crowd. And they were beating their drum, or whatever you want to call it, making sound. And they were dancing 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, look at them, they're giving God praise. And they're giving God thanks in the midst of their situation. In the midst of their life, in the midst of whatever the case may be, some of them are sick and can't go to hospital. Everything you can think of, those people are having in terms of misery. And they were beating their drum instead of sleeping to wake up 7 o'clock and start all over again. 1 o'clock at night, they were dancing. And they were not dancing, singing songs of the flesh, but the songs of the Spirit. And I said, Lord, I can give you a little more than that. Because what? I have a little more than these folk. I don't have to worry where to sleep now. I don't have where to wash my clothes. They have to go and stand in the line in the morning and pay some money and take shower for 2 minutes and run out. Because 5 minutes is more money. If they're gonna have to pay more, so 2 minutes and they get out of there. So I want you to see where you are. You may say, I don't have this, I don't have that, but I want you to see what you have. You may say, I have too many troubles. Yeah, but I want you to see what you have. And understand what kind of God, what kind of praise God deserves. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, my question is, so does that mean things or bad things that happen to us, we should just accept them and say, God, thank you for this sickness, or thank you for this trouble, or thank you for poverty, and just, you know, and do nothing, because the Bible says in everything we should give God thanks. Should we just accept all things that happen to us, good and bad, and just say, oh, well, glory be to God, because the scripture says in everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I said earlier, it's going to be very interesting. You will not look at this scripture the same again. In life, we have two things that happen to us. Good things and bad things. Okay? Somebody walk to you and give you a check for $100,000. You will say, thank you, Jesus. That one, it will fall out of your mouth without thinking about it. Because you are a Christian. You are a believer. But if a desirable situation or hardship happened to you, the first thing you think is not thank you, Jesus. No, your mind does not go there right away. Thank you, Jesus. No. Let us be truthful. Things happen to us, good and bad under the sun. It doesn't matter who you are. But the scripture says, in everything, we should give God thanks. Yes. So if good things happen to you, you know, it's automatic to be a Christian to say, thank you, Jesus. But now, I'm going to focus on what if bad things happen. How do we see it? I'm going to break that also down. You see, bad things can be divided into two also. Good things and bad things happen under the sun. Okay? Now, under bad things, bad things can happen as a result of God's judgment. God said to Israel, if you ever departed from me, terrorism will come upon you. You will be terrorized in the land. The land will not produce, meaning poverty will fall upon you. Your economy will be destroyed. There was 4 things that God appointed. If Israel is to walk away from God, it will happen to them. But I'm not going into all of that. So, under judgment, we can see God's punishment as far as his people are concerned. I don't want you to get lost here. Under the sun, good and bad things happen. As a believer now, we're talking about what? Bad things. Under bad things, we have judgment, which I'm talking about. I didn't go to the other side yet. Judgment. Now, judgment happens when people walk away from God.
Amen.
If you know who God is and you walk away from him, the nation, and we have to understand that when God, judgment happens to a believer, it's not actually a judgment, but the word you use there is punishment. Because God is allowing this so you can come back to him. You punish your children. If you are a good parent, you punish them when they're wrong or when they needed to be punished. Now, judgment fall upon unbelievers that oppress the people of God. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Unbelievers that oppress the people of God fall under judgment. But when the people of God walk away from God, they experience punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And the punishment is not to destroy the people, but it is to cut away the bad from them. So the little good that is left can be nurtured and grow. Are you with me? Okay. So, that is the judgment part. If you are a believer and you realize you are under judgment, not too much you need to do. The only thing you're going to do is to repent. Hallelujah. And what happens? A change will come. He said, my people that are called by my name, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
repent.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, repent. And he goes on to say he will heal the land.
That's right.
But the healing of the land will not happen until the people repent.
Yes.
And why people need to repent? Because they are under judgment.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's because they are under judgment. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
So when people are punished, the requirement is that they repent. So a change can come. Saul had a chance to repent, to see a change, and he didn't. Israel, numerous times, over and over, but God still loved them. He punished them, and he brings them back. He called them, and he brings them back. Hallelujah. Now, we leave the judgment part on that side. Now, if you are a believer, and yet a bad thing happened to you, or bad things are just happening to you, and yet you are not under judgment, what is it? Job, whatever, he found himself in that situation. He is one of the guys, the Bible tells us, one of the very few in the scriptures, that feared God so much that he said, I don't even know what my children are thinking in their heart. So you know what? I will sacrifice unto the Lord so my children can receive forgiveness. This is a man that intercedes for his children because he said, I don't know what they are thinking in their heart. If they sin or commit sin against God in their heart. This man, that tells you that in his own life, he got as much as he can get straight, he get them all straight. Everything he can get straight, he gets straight. But yet, he found himself in a very, very bad situation. He's not under judgment. But that's where he found himself. Very interesting. So, why bad happened to Job? Why should we give God thanks? Why should Job give God thanks? Why he's done everything right, and yet bad things happen to him? Hallelujah. You may want to keep this and never let it go. Passing in such situations are opportunity to either strengthen you or build your faith. That is the first thing. When you find yourself in the place of Job, passing are either to strengthen your faith, because Job, nobody knew how far he would go with God. I don't think he himself knew how far he would go. Mm-hmm. Until these things happened, then he begins to know exactly the kind of friend and the kind of wife he has. Mm-hmm. 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 Bad things pull the veil off people's face so you can see the real folk they are.
Yeah.
When bad things happen to you, you will really know the kind of friends you have. That's why I say on a yearly basis, you must, if you do have friends, you must evaluate them and see who needs to be promoted and who needs to be demoted.
Right.
Yes, some of them, all you gotta look into them, erase them, and erase them out of your life completely. Because they are no good. So Job, in that situation, began to know exactly the kind of friends they have, how far they will go with him. You don't know how far your friends will go with you since things begin to happen to you. Hallelujah. You don't know how far they will go with you since things begin to happen to you. Now, those who will go, it doesn't matter what happened. Those who are there because you are the cow and they get the milk from you, as soon as they see that, oh, the milk is not coming out, you know, they're going to go find some other cow. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have a whole bunch of them these days.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So, Job had that experience where he got everything straight and bam, bad things happen. It's not just bad things, but bad things on top of bad things. And you know what? When you find yourself in that place and the first bad thing happens, you say, what is happening? By the time you finish saying what is happening, bang, the second one happened. You say, Lord Jesus, can you help me? Yeah, bam, the third one happened. And you say, okay, Lord, you know what? The first one happened. That's how it happened to Job. By the time they were telling him, oh, this fire came down. Oh, this thing was destroyed. Oh, that car was destroyed. And you say, the first child is dead. Oh, the king died. Everything came down in one time. The news was just coming, one after the other, and everything was gone. There are times where you just ask, how long?
Yes, yes, yes.
How many more? Because it's like, I can't bear it anymore. Because I'm depleted of any strength that I have. Every faith that I have has become weak in the face of this, because I prayed by faith, I fasted by faith, I gave by faith, I sow my seed by faith, and yet nothing is happening. More trouble keeps coming.
Yes, yes.
So what else do I do? Hallelujah. Bad things are catalysts. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have some physicists and chemists in here, chemists. They are catalysts for new. Bad things, when you are in that position of Job, bad things, you see them as catalysts for change.
Amen.
When bad things come, they happen. In the case of Job, they take away what Job had. He was taken away. And what, at the end of the story, we found that there was more that was brought in. It's like the battle became a door for new abundance. Mm-hmm. In the case of Job.
So if you find yourself in that place of Job, and you know you are serving God in truth and in spirit, with no hidden agenda, but yet things are not going the way they are to, and all of a sudden, trouble after trouble, like Joseph, all he did was he prophesied. He prophesied and bam, against the prophecy, his own brothers wanted to take his life. That would have been a troubling situation because he was first, he was young. And second, these are his brothers. Not anybody outside the family. They were surrounded by enemy in the land in which they were living in. And he was calling on his brothers to defend him in case of attacks. And now the brothers become the one that want his life. That can be very traumatic. We read the story today because we are not in it, so we don't really see what was really happening in the mind of this young man. And this moved on from then for what? 19 years. All of a sudden, it looks like he's about to change. He's in Potiphar's house. He's the master of the house. All of a sudden, bam! From the house all the way into the dungeon. So that's how it goes sometimes. And it looks like, things began to work. Now I'm about to lift my head, and bang! You went even further down. Sometimes God keeps us from life support until we see the full restoration of the promise. Yeah. But circumstances are opportunities to build strength and faith. They are catalysts for new. When something is new, it means it's brand new. It's actually, you haven't seen it before. If you have seen something before, it's not really new. But if you see it for the first time, it's new. It may not be new for somebody else, but to you, it's new. Oh, you say, for the first time, I get $2 million. My goodness. To somebody else, that doesn't mean anything. Oh, you are out of your mind because of $2 million. Oh yeah, let me get out of my mind. It's new to me. It's new to me. Oh, yes, you got a car. My goodness, my Lord Jesus. I run bike all my life. Oh no, I walk all my life. It's new to me. So we see people like Joseph, David. When you see David, why do you see when bad things were happening to him as a young man? Those bad things ushered him into his promise. Those bad things that he suffered under Saul were the preparation for God's calling upon his life. So in a situation like that, you cannot afford not to give God thanks. And believer must understand that, you know what, when I look at Joseph, okay, he didn't do anything, and yet 19 years of trouble and 19 years of waiting, the Bible says, when the prophet said tarry, he said, wait for it. Because what? It will speak when? At a point in time. When is a point of the fullness of death? You think God spoke thousands of years ahead of time? He said Christ will come and save the world, but nobody saw it coming. And we were, some prophet came there saying that they wanted to see, but they couldn't. But most of the people didn't believe it. But the Bible said in fullness of time, Christ came. And you know what? Christ didn't come when trouble was over. He came when trouble was even higher. The time when young people are being killed, the 2-year-old boy were being killed, that was the time he chose to come.
Yes.
It's the most troublesome time. Create more problems for Mary and Joseph. You say, God, maybe you didn't do that calculation right. Maybe you should have seen Jesus 5 years ahead of time. So he would have been 7 years by then. So you know what? Maybe he will not have to run to Egypt to find refuge and all that. Look, you have to understand the plan of God. God doesn't function when everything is all right in your life. No, God functions because what? We see the greatness of God when things are not all right.
Yes.
That's when we see the greatness of God. When God just this to Job, I'll give you double of what you have. You would have said, thank you, God, about having us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any more.
Mm-hmm.
But when everything was taken away, and the double of what he had before came, he appreciated that. Yes. He appreciated that. Can you imagine? I'm here right now. You say, oh, I'm going to come. I'm going to give you a chair. What am I going to do with a chair? But if you take all the chair away and I have nowhere to sit, you say, oh, I'm going to give you a chair, I would be very appreciative of a chair. That's how we work, Bob. Can you imagine? You say, oh, I have a chair. You can come and sleep in my chair. Why do I need to sleep in your chair? Hello? I have a place to sleep. But if I don't have this, and you say, oh, I have a chair, I would be like, oh, thank you so much. I would thank you and thank you till you say no more thanks. That's how it works. So bad things shake us so we can look at different directions. Okay? So we can see something that's different than what we've been seeing all this time.
Yes.
That's why it's not always advisable to pray for trouble to stop in some people's lives. Because, oh no, sometimes you have to pray for even more trouble so they can see different direction. Togolese were under dictatorship for a very long time, almost 30 years. And you know what? They became tired of it. Churches were not allowed to function. If the government just said, oh, go, worship God, in the middle of that, just like that, people would not worship God. But what happened was that because they were oppressed. Hey, one day they get up and say, we're building the church. Oh, we don't care what you say anymore. And just started popping every corner of Togo. You walk 500 feet, you will come across at least three churches. 500 feet, any direction in the city. Unbelievable. Revival just popped everywhere. Sometimes it's good to let some people experience trouble. Though I will not pray for anybody to face trouble, but it is good sometimes. Some people to experience trouble. Some people, that's the only way their faith will grow. That's the only way their faith will be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble. When September 11 happened, everybody run to church.
Mm-hmm.
There was no room to get inside because the church was saying, church full. They almost turned the restaurant into church. Yeah. That's what happened. Trouble happened. People look for God. So you see David throughout the wilderness. You see Paul's persecution. Paul didn't just receive the call and God said, Paul, come, I'll make you a great man in the kingdom of God. No, he said, come and you see what you're going to suffer from me. That's how God experienced the greatness of God. And through that, he said, oh, that I may know him.
Yes.
That I may know him. And they know the power of his resurrection. Hey. And all that because of trouble. Trouble! Ladies and gentlemen, life is so good with Jesus. Come on, let's turn into Matthew 10. I'll show you something. Matthew 10, 18. Matthew 10:18. He said, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them in the Gentiles. So, actually, for you to have the access, or just like Paul to have the access to the kings and to the governors, he must experience trouble. Trouble was what brought him there. was what brought forth before the kings, before the Sanhedrin, before Agrippa and Festus. It wasn't an invitation. It was trouble that gave Paul the access to these people. To the point that Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian.
Yes.
Hey! Paul doesn't have the access. The only access or the only thing that enabled him to get there was the trouble. The trouble brought on top of each other. So Paul is facing that situation. And that's how he gets before Agrippa, before Festus, and before Sanhedrin, the council, the high council. So, if you are in a case or in a situation like Paul or Job, the bad things that happen to you are doors, they are opportunities for change. They are doors to new. They are catalysts for something new. You know. Well, the basement is flooded. Now what? The walls are down, cut down, floor removed, all that. Yeah, but I'll get a new one. I'll get a new one. Anything I can think of that I lost, I'm writing it down. They're not going to give me an old one. No, they have to give me a new one.
Amen.
You're going to go to Home Depot and say, I want a used floor. They don't sell that. But in the midst of it, you know what? It wasn't fun. No. It was trouble. It wasn't fun. Something you will pray for. God, give me some pain. Are you out of your head? No. Nobody pray for that. But pain open doors. It brings us before kings and queens. Proverbs 18. And we'll be closing. Proverbs 18. Room for him and bringeth him before great men. So when Paul will look at himself and say, the gift, what gift brought him before Agrippa and before Sanhedrin? What gift? It's not the oil. The presence of God doesn't bring trouble. The presence of God caused trouble to run. The presence of God caused sickness to back off. The presence of God caused demons that caused trouble to evacuate. But yet, he said, man's gifts, that can be taken two ways, but I'm taking it one way right now. So the gift that Paul has is the calling. And the calling brought him these troubles. If he didn't accept the calling of God, there's no way for him, there's no reason for him to be brought before a Sanhedrin or before Agrippa to answer any question. There's no reason. By the time he accepted God's calling, which is the gift that he has received from God, then the trouble brought him over there before the great man. Do you see that? That was what brought him before the great man, the trouble. And the trouble started when he accepted God. So you are not just under pressure and under situation because where you didn't. No, the calling itself comes with trouble. The calling comes with trouble. When you accepted God's calling, you accepted the trouble behind it. Because what? The demons are activated. They are assigned to you you know, I have to take a day, 2 days off to take care of my, to take care of business here. And when I get back to work, it's like, they want to feel sorry for me. I said, no, I don't mean anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm okay. Come on. The best my friend, my boss, he's just rich. You know, it's like, it's not stopping. Yeah, because I was on the job when I received the call that somebody that is diagnosed with this thing. And I was on the street, and, you know, it's like one thing after the other, you know, because I have to take a day off and I have to give them some explanation. Okay, I can't just, you know, I don't just take a day off, but if I have to take a day off, I have to give some explanation, reasonable explanation. So I have to say, okay, this is what's happening, I need this day off. So they want to just stop to say, no, I understand that the calling come with that, with the trouble. But you know what? You will wrestle with that trouble. There will be a time when the trouble will overcome. It will become as dead as Goliath. Goliath was trouble for Israel. Yeah. And there came a time when he was put down with the head off. Yes. And that Goliath became an opportunity for David, hey, to become the rising star of Israel. Without Goliath, nobody will know who David is.
That's right.
Heaven is aware and taking note of everything happening in the earth. For you know? Especially the believer, because Jesus said, not even a hair of your head will be lost. So therefore, just know that heaven is aware of the situation. But look forward to that day where that Goliath will be laid down with the head off his body. He said, in everything, give God thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Because when God sees the trouble coming, he's not seeing trouble, but he's seeing opportunity. He's seeing a catalyst for change or for new. As a believer, yeah. That's the way we should see it also. Hallelujah. So that's why we can say, oh, thank you, Lord, in the midst of our situation. And when we do that, the devil get confused also, because he's like, wait a minute, I'm causing you trouble, you should be crying, why are you giving God thanks? We create more confusion for the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor. Praise you on this day, because troubles and situations that have come our way, Lord, we look at them and see opportunities. We see doors for change. We see doors for new. We see catalysts for new. And we praise you and we give you thanks, as the scripture says we should give you thanks. Lord, it is your desire, because you see also opportunity in it. Lord, in the midst of it all, our spiritual and rise to give you thanks. And the demons that are behind to inflict pain and undesirable situations to our lives, in the name of Jesus, we bind them. We bind them and we stop them in their craftiness. We repel them in the name of Jesus. We command them all right now to back off and leave our territory. Lord, in the name of Jesus, David asked, will I recover? You say yes. This morning we ask, will we recover? And we thank you for yes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, rebuild our world. Restore each and every one of us. Lord, that which has been lost, we know you are able to even give more and multiply by a great number. Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal your people. Deliver your people. Prosper your people. Remove away the pain. Let today be the end of the 19 years of wait. Let today be a day that we ascended to the throne like David ascended to the throne of Israel. Let today be the day that we have seen that which you have promised coming to pass. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory. Wisdom and giving.
Of the an exceeding great army of the spiritual Israel. Lord, we know you are rebuilding our walls. We know you are strengthening us and you are rebuilding our faith. We know, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, we are receiving the transfer of wealth that you have promised. So today, in the name of Jesus, we take the communion to remember your word.
Hallelujah.
We remember it, the word, even from the one Genesis all the way to the last verse of Revelation. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. For the word that you have spoken, you will also do. A word that you have sent out, you will also back. And make sure it is fulfilled. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for the prophetic word spoken concerning us, for the word that we have been given and we've been waiting upon. Lord, you said in fullness of time, so in fullness of time, in fullness of time, even now in fullness of time, we bless you, O God, for we see the word fulfilling. Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless this cracker and this juice, and that as we take the communion, we the heaven also celebrate with us the death, the resurrection, the coming, and even the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, we remember that our sins have been washed away. We remember that our iniquities have been removed away. We thank you, O Lord God. Rebuild our faith. Strengthen us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Father, we thank you for the communion. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Again, gathered in the name of the Lord to worship together. Amen. In the beauty of God's holiness. So we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We welcome you to House of Prayer International Ministries.
Amen.
It feels a little bit of throwback because when we used to talk about Friday night, this is where we would stand. This is how we had the chairs. Amen. So, amen. We thank God. Yes. Our vision, we are touching and transforming lives, communities, and nations with the power and love of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and restoration. Our mission, House of Prayer International Ministries, is a place of refuge for all nations to provide instruction, leadership, inspiration, and encouragement to all, to equip its members for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing restoration and wholeness to mankind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mother, it's good to see you back. So glad to see you back. Do you have anything you would like to share?
Praise God. That's what we say. Praise Him. I thank each and every one of you for your prayers. And especially speaking that you find out who were you going through. And I was glad to find that I had more friends than I thought. You know, so I wanted to say that too. And I thank God for that, that even through everything I went through, God took care of everything for me. So that I had what I needed. But sometimes we think that we're the only ones that can do it. That we push ourselves to say, we have to get this done. But God sometimes show you that I am able to get it done. If you sit back and just listen to me, because there may be something else I want to talk to you about. And I said, Lord, this is funny now. If you want me to sit and rest, it's a strange spot for me to sit on. Okay, but I just thank God that I had time to sit and to meditate on Him. And listen, I think I shared with you that God was taking me to the book of Job. And how I was just looking in the book of Job and how his suffering, he had not done anything. But you know what? It also was telling us that God was always, the devil wants to take control of territory. And he saw that when the devil came before God and he says, okay, you see anybody more righteous? He said, look at that anyway, walking up to him for to see who he can. He says, okay, the devil will always take an opportunity to destroy territory.
Amen.
But always remember that God has his limitations for what he can do to us. Because even though the devil said, take your fence to the ground, I said, well, his fence wasn't totally taken from the ground because it couldn't take his life. So I just praise God for that. And, you know, and just that, the devil just keep telling me, just hold on. And God is saying, hold on to your faith. Do not allow your faith to fail you. Because that's the only thing we have to stand on. It's your faith. If you lose your faith, then you lost. Hold on to God because He's still there and His promises are true. And He will do what He said He would do. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you too.
Amen.
Running back and forth and delivering. I'm doing this.
Yes.
God bless you. How are you doing? We've been
praying
for your strength.
Watching her cluck like a hen.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Anything you
want to
say, Sister Deb?
She clucked like a hen.
Uh-oh.
You know, she's a bald chicken.
Oh my
God!
I'm so silly.
For real, I'm gonna have feathers. She keeps making chicken.
Thank God for chicken.
Thank God for chicken.
we're going to continue. I looked outside and I see there is a winter storm on the way.
Yeah.
All right. So just a quick testimony I want to bring before you, Tanya Marie, those of you familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to just let us know that she has, Friday was a complete year of the MS being in complete remission.
Mm-hmm.
And she just experienced that. So we thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right, time for inside and also Sister Joyce. Amen. Thank God for being here for sure. Oh, and I do want to thank Sister Joyce and Angela and Damaris. You know, Angela was here helping us bring everything up, and then yesterday Joyce and Damaris came and rearranged, because this whole place was cluttered with everything, and they came and rearranged this.
There was some stuff.
It's still in here, but they just hid it, and, you know, made a space for us to even have somewhere to sit down and eat.
Amen. So we just thank and praise God for being here. We ask everybody to stay and we'll pray with the offering. Father, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for the blessings and the mercy, God, that endures forever over us, oh Lord. We ask right now, God, that you touch the offering, touch those who are giving. Lord, give them the abundance of their heart, oh God. We ask right now, God, that every seed that has been planted, Lord, that it will bring harvest in this year, God, and that it will be more than enough and satisfy your believers, Lord, today. We ask right now to continue to touch the partners, God, who are continually to sow into this ministry, God, that you bless them, God, financially, spiritually, God, and with good health. We just thank you, oh God, that the seeds, God, that is being brought in, God, will feed nations, water those who are thirsty, and feed those who are hungry, God, and give hope to the hopeless, Lord.
Amen.
We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great is He has done, great of things He will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done, oh, great things He has done. Great of things He will do. Unto the Lord be the glory.
May the Lord's presence cause your enemy to crumble. May the Lord's presence cause their tongue to be cleaved to the roof of their mouth. May the presence of the Lord cause their arm and their feet to lose their scales. May the presence of the Lord cause you to shine. May the Lord cause you to rise above every obstacle in your life, even right now. That in the name of Jesus, you will experience an overcoming spirit. That you will experience what it means to be victorious. That in the name of Jesus, you will become one that is set apart to become a blesser to many others. To the glory of God which is in Christ Jesus. May this week that began for you to become the most blessed week ever experienced in your life. May the Lord give you peace upon all that you will do, upon everything that you will touch, upon every word that you will speak. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the blood cover you. May the blood protect you against the invader. May the blood become your shield. May the word of God sweep away the enemy before you. May the sword of the Spirit cut and pierce through the enemy, that he will become dismembered in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord be your guidance. May the Lord go before you. May your back be covered by the heavy presence of God. In Christ Jesus, may your feet walk a new walk, even from now going. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Amen.